want to share. And if I go off my notes, that's okay, because the Holy Spirit has other things and to say to us. But before we begin, I want to do like I always do, to raise your Bibles and repeat after me. I declare the Bible to be the inspired Word of God. It has been given for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, to equip me for every good work. I receive its teachings in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse that I've chosen to read, and I had it on the bulletin, Colossians 3, verse 8. Put away and get rid of yourselves of anger, rage, bad feelings toward others, curses and slander, and foul-mouthed abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. In 2 Timothy 2:16 it says, but avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk. Because the Word of God says, out of the heart are the issues of life, or our soul. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And James talks about the tongue as being an unruly member, and no one can tame it. You see, toxins have wreaked havoc in our society, in our physical bodies, and even in the healthcare system. Well, I don't go around and grab a cup of toxin and drink it and think, oh my, this is good. No, no, no. Toxin comes in, sometimes good stuff. And because our foods have been altered, we're getting toxins into our bodies and we're not even aware of it, right? And so what happens is after a while we get sick and wonder what happened. Well, it's a buildup of those toxins that create the problem. It's in our food, our water. It's in the air that we breathe. And our bodies are constantly fighting against these toxins. And I want to just relate it spiritually. Spiritual toxins bring destructions to our body and soul. I don't just go out purposely inviting evil into my life. But they come as little sinful thoughts, or words and attitudes, or actions. You know what that does? It robs me of good judgment. It distorts my value system. It destroys relationships. It even blinds me to the truth of God's Word, and thereby cause me to lose direction or even purpose for my life. Then I act or react contrary to God's principles, and it always promotes selfish ambition. You see, when we're born again and we're made alive in Christ, He comes to live in our spirits, and we become new creatures in Christ. But you say, well, why are you talking about toxins then? Well, the Spirit has become alive in Christ, but our soul and body have not still come under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. That's why it says we're to renew our minds. You see, this is where you and I can make the choice. I can either choose to go my own way. I still am saved, but I live with all kinds of idiosyncrasies that are not godly. And the battle begins because the fleshly carnal nature always wants to have its own way. I'll tell you what, all of us at one point or another, we want to do good, we wish to do good, we desire to do good. Even come to church, come to church. And guess what? Have a flat tire, so I have an excuse for not coming. my back aches and I can't sit too long. I'm not saying that this is all wrong, but you know what? We're always fighting this thing. So we have to make a decisive choice in regards to the things of God. And that's why in the scripture read, it says, put off, get rid of. God isn't going to do it for us. I have to make the choice. God doesn't want a bunch of robots serving him. He wants willing servants that are ready to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. The strange thing is here, as I was reading, it says, put away and get rid of yourselves of anger. Why anger here? One of the things that the scriptures mentions in regards to anger is the fact that anger is the thing that happens to us when I don't get my way. Do you ever notice how quickly, we want to do something and something goes wrong and right away anger rises up? It's the strangest thing, but it's the natural thing that happens to us. So then I may not really express it. I'll have angry thoughts. And if I don't watch, I'll even have angry words, and I even end up doing angry deeds. It says, be angry and sin not. So I've heard the expression, we have righteous indignation or righteous anger. But I've never seen anybody do anything very good out of even righteous anger. It always comes across the wrong way. People get hurt and things go wrong. The only one who could have righteous indignation was Jesus. He could take and chase the buyers and sellers out of the temple. And he got away with that. Eventually they crucified him. But what I'm saying is, sometimes I can make an excuse for some anger that I have. And I can even blame God and said, he made me this way. Wow. Isn't that strange how, God gets blamed for a lot of things. If you have an insurance policy and there's some disaster, they say it's an act of God. So blame him. You see, whoever heard of road rage till this last little while? Road rage. People get angry. You've maybe seen some of the clips where somebody will get out of a car and go to another driver and punch him out. Well, you see, anger is a very real thing. And if we don't watch, it's set on fire by hell. It can destroy so much in our lives. They can become so destructive. And my subtitle of this message was called Zip Your Lip. You know what? It's so easy to be angry and then think, I have a right to just spill out all my vengeance on somebody. But read my lips. Zip your lip. You know what? You can do a whole lot more. But you know what? You're not going to do it on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit and a godly attitude to do it. Because zipping your lip isn't what the devil wants us to do. He wants to just let it all spill out. And you know what happens with along with anger comes unforgiveness. And it's been proven already. And why don't we have a doctor here? But maybe he can agree to this. Sometimes rheumatoid arthritis is because of unforgiveness. I just had a testimony of somebody just the other day said, you know what? He was so full of rheumatoid arthritis. And somebody spoke to him and shared with him about unforgiveness. And so he went back and he got it all sorted out. Within a week, he was totally free. In fact, he went back to the doctor and he said, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe you didn't have it. But when he had it for 2 years, it was a record of having rheumatoid arthritis. some of the toxins that we get into our lives not only affect our soul, but affect our body. So it's not just zipping your lip. You know what? If you have anger and you don't deal with it, you bury it when you zip your lip. You know what the best place is? I found, go to the Lord and have it out with Him. I've done it a few times. But you know what? He listens, and when it's all over, He pours out His grace and forgiveness. I've experienced it a few times when I was so upset. But you know what? Nobody got hurt through it. And God forgave me, and God helped me to work it through. You see, the toxins in our soul are always ready to rise up and fight for its own rights. It always demands its own rights. When to speak undisciplined words that may want to prove you are right and put down the other person, zip your lip. We don't always have to be right or have the last word, zip your lip. And let godliness prevail. The Bible says, with our mouth we worship God, and with the same mouth we curse men. This ought not to be. You and I have choices to make, to put off and to get rid of. Anger also distorts our value system. Just ask him a couple of questions. Is it more important to win the argument or to keep the peace? It's more important to win the argument. I'm going to get upset. I'm going to tell you all about it. But if I value peace, I'm going to be quick to overlook it. Love covers a multitude of sins. Is it more important to prove I'm right and lose a friendship, or willing to back off and say, it's okay. It's okay. I found something too. I found that the Holy Spirit cannot bring blessings, the blessings of God, into my life by bursts of anger, sarcasm, evil speaking, blaming, or bitterness. Those aren't attributes of God. They come from the enemy. You see, we're often so intoxicated with the world system that we never seem to have a quiet moment for God even to speak to us or to help us get rid of the anger. I really haven't heard God. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you hear from God. Well, you know what? It's inner impressions. And there's the aha moment. You said, whoa, I know God just impressed me about doing something. We Christians have called Sunday our day of rest. And I remember when I was a little boy, there were no stores open. And then eventually there was one little store open. Then there was two stores open. What is it today? Everything's open. The sad thing is, it's not a day of rest anymore. And so we even struggle to get the time on church. I mean, we're busy folks. And we're so occupied with the world system that we can hardly shut off our computers or even our iPhones. You know what? The enemy can sure use this to destroy. I'll tell you. We need to have some shutdown zones in our house and in our car sometimes. God made it very real to me. It seems that there's a need for sound or noise all day long. TVs, radios, DVD players and other noise devices are left on all day, and in some cases all night. When does God have a chance to even get a word in edgewise? You see, he speaks with a still, small voice. It's no wonder that even Christians have not entered into the Sabbath rest. If we really took time each week to observe the Sabbath, our lives, I believe, would drastically be changed, and God would be able to speak into our lives. You see, as it was about 4 months ago that God showed me something. Even our devotional time comes to place. Well, I had 5 minutes, so I'll read a quick devotion and away I go. And even with that, there's interruptions. The phone rings or something happens. Well, if you're feeling guilty about now, good. Because I'd like to suggest to you to take a day off and spend it alone with the Lord or with reading the Bible or along with somebody else, with a friend. Satan has lied to us that we have to be busy, and then he steals our time from God. At least start with part of a day devoting it to the Lord. We sort of say, well, you know, Lord, you understand, I'm really busy. I don't have even time for a day off. What would the police officer say to you if you today drove out of this parking lot and drove on the left-hand side of the road instead of the right, and you hit another car? The police officer says, well, what'd you do that? Oh, he says, oh, officer, you don't understand. I just came from England. They drive on the left-hand side. Would he understand? No, it's a principle. We drive on the right-hand side. So sometimes I think Satan makes us to lie to God, to say, well, God, you understand. I'm just human. No, no. God has put principles in here. And if he's put them in here, it meant for a reason. But also, he's given us his Holy Spirit to obey and follow them. Amen? That's what it's all about. So I believe God is serious about the Sabbath. He sent Israel into exile for 70 years because they failed to observe the Sabbath. You know what? Many lives are in exile with burnout, depression, body ailments of all sorts. Our medical system is full of patients that the doctors can't even find a diagnosis for in the physical because it's soulish. Probably the doctor here could confirm about some of that too. Is that right? Because I used to do first aid too, but I'm not a doctor. But you know what? People are suffering with their souls so sick with toxins, with anger, with all kinds of things that it affects their physical bodies. This week, the Lord allowed me in a dream to feel some of this. I've been through depression a couple of times, but when I went through this, it was an excruciating emptiness, a depression of the soul. The worst I've ever experienced. I woke up feeling so empty. And I felt the meaningless and purposeless of everything I did was useless. It had no meaning. Nothing satisfied. Totally lost in oneself. So without God filling the void in your heart, that is nothingness. And I just want to bow in a word of prayer even now. Father, I pray, if there are those going through it this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw so near to them to make them know that if they love Jesus, they have value. And that Satan has lied into their souls that they are useless. But God, I pray that you would arise in them a new desire to love you and to serve you and not to listen to the lie of the enemy, in Jesus' name. You see, toxin takes away the joy of living and the purpose of life. You see, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, Jehovah God is trying to communicate with us to restore relationships with us. Every day he sends messages, but if we're too occupied, we don't get them. You know what? Spirit FM 88.5 is 7. We can go 24 hours a day. But you know what? Until you turn your radio on, you don't hear a thing. But you know what? Spirit FM 88.7 is beaming right into our building right now. And if we had a sound system that isn't as good as the old ones used to be, could hear some radio stations come in. That's what happened in the old days. All of a sudden, you'd have something coming through the speakers. But you see, God has put a receiver into our hearts when we receive Christ. And it's just amazing when after you receive Christ, oh man, you're getting all kinds of good messages. Man, you could go out and hug everybody. Didn't care what they look like, smell like, or whatever. That is the message of love that you were receiving from him. But what happens is after a while, things get cold. We allow toxins to come in. I don't like what you said or what you look like. That neighbor's house. Why is it? It should be brown, not green. You know, like all of a sudden we find fault with everything. Why does my spouse do this? And she used to do that. What about that? You know what? Isn't it amazing how the toxins come in and we lose sight? See, the Word of God not only exposes our sinful ways, but gives us a solution. Here's a little side note. I was told that pastors are very busy. So when you come to see the pastor with a problem, make sure you come with at least 3 solutions. Isn't that good advice? I hope that helps you, Pastor Mark. You see, when I come to God, He doesn't want my solutions, my silly solutions. His word will direct me. You know what? They'll outweigh anything you could ever come up with. You see, our solutions often cut cross grain to what God wants us to do. The answers to our toxic problem is found in the verses in Colossians chapter 3, both before verse 8 and after. So I want to just point a few of these out. I'm reading from the Amplified. In verse 1 it says, "Aim at and seek," in quotations, "rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Again, it's my responsibility to aim at the seek. I can be lazy and I can go to heaven. That's not the problem. The problem is I want to live a victorious life. I want to live a purposeful life. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, man, I've wasted it. That's why my last sermon to you was, don't waste your life. And like I said earlier, I may be retired, and I'm kind of on a sabbatical. But I said, Lord, I want to live a purposeful retirement. I want it to be to bring glory to God. Fill me up anew. And I was just thrilled this morning with the songs that were chosen. I didn't convey with our song leader. But he said, "Bless the Lord, oh my," what? "My soul." And that's in the Word of God. And then another song said, "Who breaks the power of sin and darkness?" the King of glory. And why? Because you laid down your life so I could be free. See, I have to seek after the Lord, and he'll be found. And another song we sang, awake my soul and sing that I may do your will. Awake my soul. I can kind of just kind of push it down, and even the psalmist, he talked to his own soul because it was having problems. And so that's why it's important to talk to our soul. Stop and talk to yourself sometime. It's interesting, your answers you get. Sometimes very, very selfish. But you know what? It's good, because so often we don't stop to think what we're thinking. We don't. And that's why we have some problems. So when God wants us to stop, awake. We need to awake our souls. And because God is forever wanting to change us. The second verse in chapter 3, it says, set your minds and keep them set on what is above. I read the most interesting story about a flight. I forget what it was called now. And this fella flew from America down to Africa. And when he got there, it was total darkness. And so he had an autopilot, and he had a co-pilot, and there was other people with him. And when they came in the air, it was total darkness. Couldn't see even a light. So the pilot put his jacket over his head so that none of the light, even in the cockpit, could be seen. And he told the co-pilot just to keep watching the instruments and going. And when they were getting closer, he took his jacket off and saw one little light. So he said, there must be heading in the right direction. So then they came down for a landing. It was total darkness. And as they landed, what did they see? Army trucks and army men holding their rifles up, ready to shoot. So they landed, and the guy said, what are you doing here? This airport has been closed for a long time. But you see, he had an autopilot that knew there was a runway there. And in the process, they were able to lead some of those men to the Lord. And the next day, the co-pilot gave his heart to the Lord because he said, this was of God. So what I'm saying is, when Jesus is living in our hearts and lives, we have an automatic pilot. It's going to lead us to the heavenly shore. Things may seem dark and dreary sometimes, but you know what? We'll get there. We'll get there. So I want to encourage you, set your minds and keep them set on Jesus. And then in verse 5 it says, so kill or deaden, deprive power of the evil desires lurking in your members. You see, we need sometimes to put to death the old self. It says we're to nail it to the cross. But it's not just one time. I have to come almost daily, because that old nature still wants to have its way, even though my spirit wants to serve God. So I have to keep putting it to death. Verse 10, and having clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of him who created it. So not only do we put off, but we are to be clothed. And in verse 14, and above all else, put on love, and enfold yourself with a bond of perfection which binds everything together in complete harmony. And let the peace of and the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule as an umpire continually in your hearts, and be thankful, appreciative, give praise to God always. I want to do something that was really interesting. We're to give praise to the Lord in verse 17. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God and Father through him. I'm just going to illustrate something here. In the Hebrew, this is hey, and it means praise. This is shachat, and that means perverted or wrong. Notice this little thing is missing. As long as you keep your mouth open and praise God, perversion won't come in. That good? I just learned that yesterday. I thought, oh, this is going to be good for us today. Also, I want to share that I'm excited about the prayer meeting that's going on tonight. Don't find excuses not to come. If at all you can, come and spend. Even Jesus said to me, can't you just wait an hour with me in the garden? We're going to come into some troublesome times. We need to know the Lord. And I'm thrilled about the discipleship program that's going to be going on Wednesday. Find time. Because the toxins have caused us to think, well, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. I believe that's been a big part of what's missing. And so also want to say to the church board, make a bigger budget for evangelism and outreach. We're not going to take this church with us. We're only going to take those souls that have been saved. So I want to encourage you. I just believe in my heart that God wants to do a good thing. Now, everybody was asking, what's this piece of paper here? Well, now I'm going to explain. One of the things that the Lord has laid on my heart, and that is this. The salvation of souls. My dad prayed so hard for us as children and grandchildren. He didn't want anyone to miss it. He wanted us all to rendezvous in heaven. But we still have unsaved loved ones. So if you have someone that isn't saved, I want you to write their name down here. If you don't have a pencil, then you can do it later. Write it down. Maybe just one, two, three, doesn't matter how many. Or even a close friend. And I'm going to get Anita to come now. We're going to sing a song. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. I've done so many funerals, even for Sutton's. And one of the things that really touched my soul one day was this guy that had died. And somebody says, when I die, I'm going to go and have a beer with him in hell. Read this book, To Hell and Back Again. There's no beer in hell. I may not have all my theology right, but I tell you what, the Word of God talks about it. I don't want any of my loved ones to end up in the fire pit. So we're going to sing that chorus, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Maybe new to you, but it's easy to you, and we're going to sing it a couple times. And us old timers, we remembered it. So I dug it out. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee, to win that soul. And may I but I'm going to pray that God would take and save souls. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us a purpose for being here. You redeemed us from the enemy. You cleansed us from all our sins. Lord, that gives us such a passion to see others run to you. Lord, there's those in our own families and loved ones that are following in your ways. We lift up to you even now. I pray that you would touch their lives, that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak to them. Send others into their lives that would speak to them as well. And Lord, help us to be available to speak into other people's lives. People who are praying for their unsaved loved ones. So Lord, give us a passion to love you, to serve you in such a way that we'd see the unsaved come to know you. Lord, we just pray that by the end of next year that we're going to hear some good results of those who've come to know Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.